let's grab our Bibles and let's go to the book of Acts once again, Acts chapter 2. If you're sitting in an aisle seat, you can just reach underneath your chair and grab the church Bible that's there and pass it down your row. Perhaps there's somebody that might need a Bible. If you personally need one, you feel free to take this home, take the one underneath your chair home, and begin to read it as God would show you. We've been going through a series on the book of Acts, and we've been stuck in chapter 2 and verse 4. We've been stuck in chapter 2 and verse 4. How many of you have had a significant event in your life, and that event was so significant that it's one of the great pillars of your life? In other words, you know, when I was married on September 15th, 1984, that was like the beginning of a whole new life for me. And that's a pillar that is in my life, that when I look back quickly over the history of my life, one of the immediate pillars that jumps out is my wedding day. And if you talk to me for very long and you talk about the good things in my life and what I'm grateful for, it's not going to be very long before we go back to talking about that pillar and the impact that it's made. Maybe in your life it's been a significant time in your life, like your college years or perhaps your childhood years. Or maybe it was that vacation that you went on every year, and that was these fond memories. Perhaps it was the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and you look at that as a pillar in your life. Or perhaps it was your last birthday or that big job that you finally received and got promoted to. Sometimes in our life, there are wonderful events that happen that we hang our hat on. That as we look over the back history of our life, this is a significant pillar. Well, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, as we look back over the history of Christianity, this is a pillar. In fact, this is the foundation stone. And all it simply says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, remember there was 120 people in this room in Jerusalem, and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There were men there, there were women there, and it clearly indicates that all of them, all 120 of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now there's a lot of confusion about what does it mean that they could be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the triunity of God. And it says that God filled their life. But what exactly does that mean? How can God come into a human being? How does that work? And so we've decided that we are going to take a couple of weeks and try to explain what does it mean when God comes into a human being. And we're going to take this week and next week. And this week we're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now that may seem like a strange word, indwelling. It's not something that we use very often in our English vernacular. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, is He indwelling you? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you go one book to the right from the book of Acts and you go to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8 and verses 9 through 11, it tells us that the Holy Spirit actually does dwell inside of us. Romans chapter 8, starting there in verse 9, it says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, God's Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though your body, your physical body, is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit, your inner person, is alive because of righteousness. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Several times in these three verses, it says the Spirit of God dwells within us. Go a book to the right, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know this is Paul writing, that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit, capital S, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God dwells within you. It's a rhetorical question. The immediate response should be yes. Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? If we were to go a couple more books to the right, we're going to find the book of 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, it tells us there the same idea that God dwells within us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14 simply says, and grace of our Lord, 2 Timothy, I'm in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which you've been entrusted to you. In other words, we have the treasure of the good news of God, and it's in us. And these verses clearly teach us that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Now, let's go back to the book of Romans. That's where we're going to spend some time this morning. In Romans chapter 8, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us? Well, the word dwell simply means that to dwell inside, to make a permanent residence upon my faith confession. When the Holy Spirit dwells within us, it clearly teaches us that God has a permanent residence inside of us. Now, we know that the Bible teaches we as human beings are made up of multiple components. We have the physical side of our life, our flesh, our skin and bones. That's the material part of who we are. But human beings have this special addition. We have an immaterial part of who we are. We call it our soul or our spirit. Our soul is our personality. Whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, or whether you like this kind of, you're this kind of a personality or that kind of a personality, our mind, our emotions, our will, this is our soul. But then within our soul is our spirit. Our spirit is the immaterial part of who we are that is supposed to have a connection with God. So God created human beings very uniquely, and He gave us, yes, the physical element of who we are, but He also gave us the immaterial part of who we are, our personality, our mind, emotions, and our will. That's our soul. And then deep within us, He put a spirit. And it's in this core component of who we are that we're supposed to have this connection with God. Well, we know the Bible teaches when we're born, because we're born sinners and we have a sin nature, that spirit, that inner component of who we are, is dead in relation to God. That I don't have a relationship with God. I don't have a connection with God when I come into this world. If this box represents me, I come into this world empty. Oh, I can think about God, because people talk to me about God, or somebody takes me to Sunday school. I'm created in the image of God, so I can have a sense of morality. I can know how to love my wife and to love my children. But when it comes to actually having a connection of God, a connection to God through my spirit, I have nothing to offer. There's nothing there. And so God, when He looks down from heaven, He needs to help me have a connection with Him. And so it tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in Him you've also, after listening to the message of the faith, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's why the moment of my faith confession, this verse says, I hear about Jesus and I believe in Jesus to the point where I say, I want to have a connection with God. I want Him to forgive me of my sins. I'm begging God to come into my life. And at that moment, it says the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells inside of me. All of a sudden, that core component of my spirit that was dead to God now becomes alive to God. And the Holy Spirit can take up residence within me. Now, we studied last week who the Holy Spirit was. We know that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, and within the Holy Spirit, we have the character of God. Let's say that each one of these little pebbles represents different attributes of God. This one represents love. This one represents peace, patience, kindness, holiness. The Holy Spirit is completely God. He owns all of the attributes of God, and it says that the moment that I hear about Jesus, and the moment I say yes, and I respond to that invitation to ask Jesus into my life, we just read verses that tell us the Holy Spirit comes and takes up permanent residence inside of us. Now He's in us. And I'm completely different. I woke up like this. That Sunday morning when I was 8 or 9 years old and I went forward after church, when the pastor said, "Who wants to accept Jesus into their life?" And there was something inside of me that got me up out of my chair, and I went down to the front and the pastor took us over to the side and I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my life and I put my trust in Him as much as I could as an 8-year-old. But you know what happened at that very moment? The Holy Spirit of God came into me, and when little Phil woke up on Monday morning, he was completely different. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "He who is in Christ is a new what?" It's a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. I'm completely different now. And you know what? All of the resources that God has are now inside of me. So I can begin to love. I can begin to actually have a connection with God, because I don't have to go find God. God came and found me, and He now dwells within us. Over and over again. In these passages that we read this morning, we find that God dwells within us. Now, in Romans chapter 8, where we're at this morning, we're going to find that there are three pieces to this puzzle of understanding this whole idea of what it means to be indwelled by God. Let's look at verse 9. We're in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "However, you are not in the flesh," that means living a life without God, "but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." So that this verse is telling us is that if I have the Spirit of God in my life, first and foremost, I belong to Him. I belong to Him. Because it says in this verse, if I don't have the Spirit of God, then I don't belong to Him. Therefore, if I do have the Spirit of God in my life, guess what? I belong to Him. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him. Verse 9 says, "When the Spirit of God indwells your life, it marks you as His. And now you belong to Him." That should say amen. Now everything that God has for me is guaranteed because I belong to Him. I'm adopted into His family now. And all of the privileges, all of the heirs, all of the benefits that God has for His children now are granted to me, because I belong to Him. It's a change in my position. It's a change in my position. The Bible describes it the same as my wedding day. The day before my wedding day, I didn't belong to my wife, and my wife didn't belong to me. But when she walked down that aisle and we said our vows to each other, now all of a sudden our relationship completely changed. And now we belong to one another. And everything in life is meant to be done together. I belong to Him. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "If Christ is in you," watch this, "though the body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness." Not only do I belong to God, I'm alive to God. Before, all I could do was think about God. I could even talk about God. I could even do things in the name of God, but I was not alive to Him. We didn't have a relationship. I compared this a couple of weeks ago with my relationship with Michael Jordan. That I really like Michael Jordan. I respect a lot of things that he's done in his life. He's the same age as I am, and I followed his career. The only problem I have with Michael Jordan is I don't know him. I've never met him. So I don't have a relationship with him. I can talk about him. I can think about him. But I don't have a relationship with him. The same is true with God. When we came into this world, we could talk about him. We could go to Sunday school. We can enjoy talking about the things of God. We could even try and implement some of God's policies into our life. But until we come to Christ, we're not made alive to him. And I want you to notice something very interesting. God has always been alive to us. It's never been his problem that we don't have this connective relationship with him. It's been our problem, and now we're made alive to him. I'm alive to him. Look at verse 16 of chapter 8. This is crazy, you guys. Look at verse 16. The Spirit, watch this, S, capital S, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are what? Now let's think about this for a minute. The Holy Spirit himself testifies, talks, proclaims in our spirit that I'm a child of God. There's a sense where there's communication taking place, isn't there? So being alive to God is not just that I'm in good standing with God, but that there's actually communication happening, where in my innermost being, I can have this very strong sense and confirmation that I belong to God. It's not just a theological idea. It's not just a logical position. It's actually connection. Did you get that? His spirit can talk to my spirit and confirm that I'm a child of God. That's kind of subjective. That's kind of mysterious. How does his spirit testify to my spirit? See, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there should be a real sense in your heart of hearts that you belong to God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ with mind only, then we've got to figure out how is the Holy Spirit testifying to our spirit. It's a supernatural connection here because you've been made alive to Him. So one of the benefits of having the Holy Spirit within us is I'm alive to God now. And we can have an actual relationship. And as I study His Word, the Holy Spirit brings to my mind and truths of the Bible that God is trying to communicate to me. And He uses this Holy Spirit within us so that He can communicate His thoughts into our thoughts. And the mechanism, the mediator of God's thoughts to my thoughts as I study the Word of God is the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. He illumines my mind to understand the truths of God. But now there's actually, literally, a connection, a communication. I'm alive to God. I have the ability to walk and to talk with Him. And then in verse 11, it says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." What's He talking about? Well, who raised Jesus from the dead? Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Father raised Jesus from the dead. And the Father, if He has the ability to raise Jesus from the dead, one day He's going to raise me from the dead. He's going to give life to my mortal bodies through the Spirit that is in me. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying that now I am guaranteed to live with God. because the Holy Spirit is in me, and God has the power to who raised Jesus from the dead is also going to initiate that power through the Holy Spirit to raise my physical body one day during the great resurrection. Look at what's on the screen. Now that God is in my life through the Holy Spirit, I belong to Him, I'm alive to Him, and I'm guaranteed to live with Him. That's pretty good news. Considering I started with an empty box that couldn't do any of this for myself. That's what it means for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All of the great attributes of God are now in my life. I belong to Him. I'm alive to Him. And I'm guaranteed to live with Him. Because even though I physically die, He's going to execute the power to raise me to life. Well, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is my standing with God has permanently changed. On September 14th, 15th, 1984, I can never remember if my wedding's on the 15th and 84, on the 14th and 85. On September 15th, 1984... my standing with Ruth Albrecht completely changed. Now, it doesn't mean we get along every day. It doesn't mean we always have sweet fellowship. Sometimes she really blows it, and I got to give her some credit, you know. No. I got the far better deal. But my standing changed. The moment you heard the good news and you believed it enough to place your eternal future in the work of Jesus, your standing with God changed. He's in you. You belong to Him. You are alive to Him. You are guaranteed to live for Him. That verse is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says that the Holy Spirit who is in me is just the down payment for all that God has for me. But because He gave me the down payment, He's guaranteeing that He's going to finish the work. And my standing has changed forever. What does it mean my standing has changed? Well, first of all, it says that my life is hidden with God in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, look at the verses on the screen. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I died because now I'm alive to Christ. Now watch this. My life is now hidden in Christ, who is hidden in God. This is who I am. So God does not have a problem forgiving me of my sin because this is who I am. And God treats me according to who I am. That's why in the Bible it says that God can already see me and treat me as if I'm sitting in heaven perfect one day. That's Romans chapter 8, the end of this chapter. It says, He also justified me. He declared me sinless. He glorified me. It's in the past tense, but glorified means God already sees me as if I'm going to be, as I'm going to be when I'm seated with Him in heaven. Because why? My life is hidden in Christ in God. This is my position. And it can't change. How is this going to change? Or if I do something bad, does God take me out of Him and then take me out of Christ and then take the Holy Spirit out of me? That would be ludicrous. When He says, this has been the down payment, this is who I am. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am in Christ. God surrounds me. And all of us are collectively in God the Father. That's why the book of Hebrews says, come boldly before the throne of grace. God loves talking to you. His door is always open to you. Why? Because you're inside of Him. We have access to who He is. He doesn't stand up there in heaven and always look down His nose at me. and say, Phil, I can't believe you're thinking about that again. Man, Phil, I can't believe you did that again. Man, Phil, I'm really considering dropping you out of my family. This is who I am. My life is indwelt by the Spirit of God. My life is hidden in Christ. And collectively, we're all hidden in God the Father. Isn't that good news? This is my position. This is my standing. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. I am hidden in Christ in God. Romans chapter 8, where we've been looking, look at verse 1. Paul says in verse 1, therefore, there is now no, what? Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Am I in Christ Jesus? Am I in Him? The answer is what? So if I'm in Christ Jesus, does God ever look down on my life in a condemning way? Does God ever foresee in my future where He's going to pour His wrath upon me because I deserve it? The answer is no, because I am in Christ. And He's forgiven me. So my standing has changed forever. My life is absent of God's condemnation. And then finally, if you go almost to the end of your Bible, to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I put a couple additional references in your notes there. You can look them up afterwards. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Seeing that His divine power, talking about God's divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Let's think about that just for a second. He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That means whatever you need to be a godly person, He's granted it to you. Whatever you need to get through the issues of life, He's granted it to you. There's no situation that you and I face in this world that we cannot overcome. It doesn't matter whether we're struggling with an addiction. It doesn't matter whether we're struggling with an attitude. It doesn't matter whether we're struggling with a thought pattern. It doesn't matter if we're struggling with an action that we continually fall into. It doesn't matter what we struggle with. It doesn't matter if other people in our life are difficult. It doesn't matter if somebody does something against me that's so tragic, I'm not sure I can forgive them. It doesn't matter if somebody's done something so hurtful to me that has completely changed the course of my life. Whatever circumstance I find myself in, God can help you through it, and He is going to show you how to be godly in spite of what I struggle with or in spite of what somebody has done to me. I don't know, that's pretty good news. That's pretty good news. Why? Because now my life is equipped to be transformed. Now my life is equipped to be transformed. Because I have the Holy Spirit of God in my life. And because the Holy Spirit of God has all of the attributes of God, my life is ready to be transformed. If I need to get over an issue of anger, if I need to stop hitting the bottle, if I need to change my attitude toward my parents, if I need to learn how to forgive that difficult person in my life, if I need to learn how to be a harder worker on my job, my life is now ready to be transformed. When my box was empty and the Holy Spirit was not part of my life, I did not have the ability to transform my life to be what God wants me to be. I was working on my own willpower. Oh, I might be better than my neighbor. I might be better than some character in the Middle East. But when it comes to real godliness, when it comes to trying to exhibit the character of God in my life, I have no ability to transform my life. But now, because the Holy Spirit has all of the attributes of God, and because the Holy Spirit indwells my life, I have the power of God to change anything in my life. Because I have the true, actual love of God in my life. When your neighbor is giving you a hard time, don't try and love that neighbor in your own strength. Learn how to tap into God's love that's actually inside of you. When you need to have patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, all of those things are inside of your life. That's why Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We really can be godly people. We really can. We can really move in our life to speaking like Jesus spoke, to thinking like He thought, to having responses to life issues like He had. Not that we're going to do it perfectly, but we truly can be transformed. Why? Because He's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Why? Because He indwells us. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how do I do that. Because just because my position has changed and now my life is hidden in Christ, in God, you know as well as I knew that when I wake up tomorrow morning, I may not be acting like that. So this is the positional side of the Holy Spirit coming into my life. Next week, we're going to look at the word filling of the Holy Spirit. Because filling relates to how much I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life today. Indwelling is a positional statement that my relationship with God has changed and can never be undone. But just like when I married Ruthie, some days I don't treat her right. And it doesn't undo our marriage covenant. It just means today we're not really getting along well. And so the question about my walk with God is the indwelling of God in my life changes my relationship, but the question now is, how are God and I getting along today? Is He filling me? Am I walking in Him? Because we're going to find out next week, the Bible clearly says I can grieve the Holy Spirit. I can quench the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in my life. So next week, we're going to talk about the filling of the Spirit. But my challenge to us this week is very simple. Am I resting in and grateful for the indwelling of the Spirit of God in my life? Or do you spend so much time worrying about, God, are you really there? God, maybe you've left. Let's spend some time this week expressing our gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done. It is an amazing thing He's done for us, isn't it? I was empty and disconnected and on my way to eternity without Him. And because of His great love for me, He had me hear the good news of Jesus, and when I responded, He filled me with His Holy Spirit, who indwells me, and my life is now hidden in Christ, in God. Rest in that fact. And let's try and grow from there. Let's pray together. In this last moment this morning, I just want to encourage you to look inside your heart. Are you confident in your connection with God? Not some mysterious feeling that might come over you, but His Spirit confirms within our spirit that we are children of God. Do you have that assurance that you belong to Him? If you don't sense that assurance, then just ask Him to confirm that in your life. And maybe you're here this morning and You have an insecurity about whether God really can do this for you or has done this for you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just confirm in us that we are your children. Our gracious Father, I thank you for doing this for us, for loving us so much that you didn't want to leave us empty and abandoned and apart from you. And thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to pave the way so that we could live a life here connected with you before we even get there. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Thank you, Jesus, that you returned to heaven, because you told us that when you returned, you were going to ask the Father to send the Spirit. And when the Spirit came, he indwelled human hearts for the first time permanently. And Lord, we are the beneficiaries of that action. Help us this week to rest in the fact that we belong to you, that we are alive to you, and that we can be changed by you. Help us to be grateful to that, for that, and help us to express that thanksgiving to you this week, just as a way of acknowledging your work in our life. Bless us now as we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Isn't that-